We have read in these two chapters a lot about Christ. But perhaps as we approach the question 36 of the larger catechism, which asks this, who is the mediator of the covenant of grace? Perhaps there is a text which is giving a very clear sort of answer or description to this question. Who is the mediator of the covenant of grace? Yeah. For those of us who remember in the last few weeks, that's what we have been introduced at this point of the larger catechism. We have been looking at the covenant of works, and then at the fall of Adam, then the beginning of the covenant of grace, and how this covenant of grace has been administered in the Old Testament in a certain way, and then in the New Testament in another way. But now, this is a very interesting section that begins here with this question: who is the mediator of this great covenant of grace? Well, Galatians 4, verse 4, is giving us a very good summary of this answer. And the apostle writing here says, chapter 4, verse 4, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So there's an important aspect which is mentioned. There has been a time, God's time, when the Messiah has come. God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem his people. Now, there's obviously the first part that we should look at is the reality of a mediator, the need for the mediator. So the first answer to this question of the larger catechism is obviously the mediator of the covenant of grace is one. It is only one. And throughout all the scripture, that's what we receive as the message from God himself. Now, we have notice and learn why there must be a mediator. The mediator has been sent and is needed because of our condition, because of how our communion with God has been lost. So that's how the covenant was made, through a mediator. And mainly because our condition after the fall of Adam, the condition in which all of us have been born, is a condition that cannot be changed by us. We cannot do anything at all. We cannot, we may put all our efforts, we may try all that we want with our own ideas or efforts, but we will never change our sinful nature. We are utterly unable to give ourselves life. We are dead and we are in Adam, under condemnation. So there's a need for a mediator. That's the first thing. And the work of the mediator is exactly this: to provide and to satisfaction for a holy God, infinite holiness and justice of God, which is now in need to be satisfied. That's what the mediator does. That's why has been brought into the covenant a mediator. So there are many texts that we can draw and grasp these truths. And for example, in Matthew chapter 20. Matthew 20:28, we are told this, that the Son of Man, these are the words of Jesus in that occasion, and it was, I think it was after one of the miracles indeed. And Jesus says to the crowd around him, he says, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. There's an aspect of his own reason for why he came, why the mediator came, and what was his work? To give his life a ransom for many. Or in the very chapter we read in Colossians, Colossians 1, verse 20, that's what we have read about the work of Christ. In verse 20, Paul says about Christ, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. You see, that's what Christ has come to do, to make peace through the bloodshed on the cross. And about the blood, and about this work of satisfaction of God's wrath, in the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 13, we read about the blood called the blood of the eternal, everlasting covenant. That's what Hebrews 13 tells us. The God, these words, the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. You see, the work of the mediator is exactly this. That's why Christ came, to make peace with God. And so, this is the first aspect we learn in answering the question, who is this mediator of the covenant of grace? The mediator, first of all, is one and only one. And this only one has been provided, and it was needed. It was, first of all, needed, and has been provided by God himself. 1 Timothy 2 says very clearly this. There is one God. This is 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. It couldn't be clearer than this. And this means, in fact, that there is no one else. There cannot be, and there will not be, anybody else able to do this mediation between God and men. There will be no need, nor no possibility for no one of us and for anybody else to listen to any other man or even an angel that will tell us what to do to be accepted by God, or to be an intercessor for us to God, because there is only one mediator between God and man, and this is and has been Christ Jesus, the man Christ Jesus. Paul to the Ephesians will explain and repeat so often about Christ's work this, that through him we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now the Roman Catholic Church, you know, is teaching and misleading hundreds and thousands of people, teaching them to pray to their relatives who have already been dead, to ask for help to some of the saints who have been already passed from this world. And they deceive people with this idea that through prayer to others, they would help us to go to Christ and then to God. They are not completely, they are not altogether taking away what is said in the Word of God, but they are adding bits here and there. And the biblical concept is completely twisted. But this is what we are told. And this is why the reason, this is the reason why Christ has said to the crowd so many times, "Come to me. There is no other way you can be saved. There is nowhere you are to address your prayers and your request for forgiveness. It is through Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only mediator between God and man." Now, but there are two other aspects which we'll be just touching as an introduction today, and we will notice in more details in the next few weeks. So the mediator is one, first of all, but also we are to say two other things. That the mediator is, first of all, God Himself, and secondly, that the mediator is also man. Strange as it may seem to our own minds, even if this was the very first time that we heard these truths, but that's exactly what the Word of God reveals to us. This only mediator that has been provided is God. It is the second person of the Godhead. It is Him who became the mediator and was incarnate here in this world. The Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy in chapter 3, uses these words to picture this truth. "Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." He's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's saying, God manifest in the flesh. So this Christ, which is the mediator of this covenant, is the eternal Son of God. You all know, even by memory, perhaps you can quote John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him." Now, you are to twist the very Word of God if you want to make these words not to say what they are saying, which is Christ, the eternal Son of God, which was there in the beginning and was God Himself. In this chapter that we have read in Colossians, the second chapter of Colossians, you may have noticed among the so many things that has been said about Christ, in verse 9 we read this so clearly and in a way which is to our own mind astonishing. Paul says, in speaking of Christ, "In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Perhaps you may remember, in connection to this great truth expressed in this verse, "In Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead." Think of the disciples when they lived with Him for some years, and after the resurrection they saw the Lord Jesus as a resurrected body coming among them, even without opening doors, but appeared unto them. And what did the disciple who was suspicious say? He wanted to touch, and that's what Jesus said to him. Look at my hands, touch my body. And what was his response but an answer of adoration? There and then he realized, and he said, "My Lord, my God." There he knew who he had in front of him. He was the mediator. He is the eternal Son of God. But he, in Christ, dwelled all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So, perhaps it's not so difficult to demonstrate or to give many. There's no need to give so many references about the humanity of Christ, but that's the third aspect we are to remember about the mediator. The mediator is only one. He is God, but he is man. So Christ is in one nature God. He is equal with the Father, but in another nature he is man. He is fully man, having all the essential properties that we have as men and women, as men in our human nature. He is like every one of us, apart from sin. This is the mediator who is man. You see, even the Apostle Paul, in trying to convey this truth in Romans chapter 9, he's using this expression. He says, this is Romans 9 verse 5. That's the chapter where Paul is beginning to address his brethren, the Jews, and he's speaking of them. And he's speaking about how the Jews have been so privileged. And he comes to verse 5 and says, concerning them, about whom the Jews, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. So through the Jews, this Christ, concerning the flesh, he came. He came as a Jew. He was a man. And then Paul goes on and says, who is over all, God blessed forever. So in all these texts that we have read previously, where it is clear that in Christ there is the Godhead, and he is God. In these same texts as well, we find that he is also man. And the two are brought together in the same person, which is the Lord Jesus. It is a mystery that we cannot go and explain further, but that's what we are to take. And what about all the prophecies that have been spoken in the Old Testament and about the birth of Christ, the coming of the Messiah, that were actually being fulfilled? Think of Isaiah verse 7, where Ahaz then prophesied and said, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. These very words are repeated in the Gospel of Luke, when the angel is speaking to Mary, and when Christ will be conceived. This mediator, the God, the second person of the Trinity, has took a human nature. So we have, the best way we can explain this is that we have two natures in one single person. They are both distinct from one another. These two natures are not mixed. Christ is not an improvement of the human nature and not God. And nor he is a modification, in some sort of modification of God and not fully man. But we have two natures, perfectly together in one single person. They are indivisible, they are inseparable, but they are united in Christ. We cannot say more than this, but we will, God willing, in the next few weeks. So let us read the very answer as it is stated in the larger catechism. Who is this mediator of the covenant of grace? And here is a bit of a summary of what we have said with these Bible verses. The answer is, the only mediator of the covenant of grace is the Lord Jesus Christ, who, being the eternal Son of God, of one substance and equal with the Father, in the fullness of time became man, and so was and continues to be God and man, in two entire distinct natures and one person forever. This is the wonder of the gospel, my friend. This is the wonder of the revelation of God in the salvation of mankind. You don't find anything of this in any of the religion of this world. And indeed, for those who don't have a grasp of this truth, that there is a mediator that has come, and this mediator is both God and man, for those who see Jesus as just a man to be followed and imitate, they lose completely the reason for why he came. This is the salvation that God has provided. This is the blessing that you have as you trust in him, for he is the one who will bring you to the Father. He is the one who has lived the perfect life without sin and has given his own blood to cover and to bring away the wrath of God on your account.